Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you tell me now.
Fire!
color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
Come on down, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. Grateful and thankful to have each and every one of you join us on this awesome, marvelous Monday night. Just thanking God once again for allowing us to still yet be amongst the living. Just asking that God continue to lead, guide, and direct us, allow us an opportunity to be able to be a blessing to someone else. That's what our role is in life. And I just hope and pray we all take heed to that and go out of our way to bless somebody else. My name is Tammy Storr. I'll be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly. Thanking God once again for the privilege to be able to come before you on this Monday night Blog Talk Radio show. Just want to ask that each and every one of you take an opportunity to play along with us and give us an opportunity to be able to have the Holy Spirit join us on this evening. I want to just thank God once again for his grace and his mercy, and how he continues to be upon each and every one of us. If he had not been, we wouldn't be here today. I'm just that crazy to believe it. And I thank God for your presence today, that you're here with us on the Blog Talk Radio show. I want to just thank God for your presence and ask that if there's anything that you desire to say tonight while we're on the Blog Talk Radio show as it relates to love, is the strongest emotion driving the concept of marriage. Without love, there would be no marriage. And I just thank God that there may be just something that might be on your heart tonight that you might want to hone in on this conversation, this teaching, and share through transparency how you express yourself with the love that you provide your spouse. And we welcome you to press 1 on your phone. You will at the appropriate time be able to come in and speak or ask a question or just share so that another individual can get blessed by your testimony. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to personally say thank you for another day and another opportunity to get it right. Thanking you, Lord God, that you provided us a protection as we were out and about of our homes. And thank you for all of those that have made it back to their home safely tonight and those that are still making their way back. I just want to declare and decree and just thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, and just thank you for all that you have done. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you help us all have a better understanding of what we need to do, how we need to do it, when we need to do it. And I pray that it has something to do, Lord God, with our marriages or upcoming marriage or upcoming engagement or upcoming significant other that you already have picked out for these individuals under the sound of my voice. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you help me, Father, be the best spouse on this side of heaven that I can be to my king. I pray tonight for Jesse, Father. I pray that everything he puts his hands to, that you would bless him. I pray that you touch, Father, everything that flows from his mouth tonight, that he will be a blessing to all of us, that it will be under the sound of his voice. Tonight, Lord God, I just come declaring and decreeing, Lord, because I know that it's my blood-borne right to remind you, Lord God, of what you said in your word. And you said in your word, Lord God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said, Father, that you would be with us at all times. I just want to thank you for your presence, especially with my husband, Lord God, how you are just seeing him through, bringing him through this ugly disease that someone is trying to attach to him, but it has no power. We don't believe it, and we know that it's not there. We're going to believe your word, Lord God, and I just pray that tonight you would allow us to have a testimony that only you, Father, can receive the glory for. I pray that, Father, you would totally heal my husband's body, give him an opportunity to receive to understand and to know what it is, Father God, that you desire for him to do. I just pray tonight, Father, for all of the children that you've entrusted in our care, near and far, that you would give them an opportunity to, Father, continue to be respectful and loving to their parents. But we understand and know, Father, your word will not return void. It will not lie. And your word tells if our children would respect and honor their mother and father, they get an opportunity to live long life. And we know, Lord God, if they're living a long life because of you, you're going to bless them to live it more abundantly. So I thank you that every child that you've entrusted in each and every one of our lives, that they will have the ability to exercise their right to be respectful, to be loving, to be kind, to go out of their way, to even be a blessing by doing things for their parents and just thinking about all of the things that their parents did for them even before they could even raise their own head, before they can raise their own hand, before they can do anything. We know, Lord God, you allowed us as mothers, as fathers, as grandmas and grandpas and aunties and uncles and friends and godmothers and godfathers to be able to care for our children in the way in which you want us to, and that is in the way of bringing them up in the way of the Lord. So when they grow older, they may depart, but we know they know where their foundation is, that they will come back. We'll never give up on you, Lord God, or give up on them. So as always, Father, just go and be with us. Help us, Father, tonight as we speak on this very important topic about love. I know, Father, love is the strongest emotion. I understand that. I know that. That drives the concept of marriage. And I just pray not only do we understand it, but each and every one of our listening audience. And then if there's someone that you may know that are that they're married and they may not be exemplifying that wonderful L-O-V-E in their life, I pray that this message will be shared with them, that you will regurgitate it and be able to allow them an opportunity to learn and grow through this message as well, even in the archives. I thank you tonight, Lord God, for all the blessings. Thank you once again for just help and strength. Thank you for the opportunity to pray for these powerful, strong marriages that you have strategically put together. Let them work it out through you, with you, and knowing, Lord God, that everything they do, they must grab hands and they must pray one to another. And we know you will be in the midst because you said in your word, it don't take many, two or more. And we thank you for the husband and the wife coming together, joining hands, praying, believing, declaring and decreeing your word, and watch and see their lives will be forever changed. So just give us the opportunity through discernment to know what you want us to do, when you want us to do it, and how. I love you so much, Lord God, and I want to just say thank you once again for this opportunity to declare and decree your word over every individual. Bless Jesse a thousandfold, Lord God. Let him be able to understand and know that you will fill him back up with everything that he pours into us. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, amen. Let all of us say amen one more time. We praise God and we thank God for my queen, and we thank God and praise God for your presence this evening. If you are here with us live in this particular time, or if you are listening later in the week, next month, whenever it may be, in the archives, we praise God and thank God the time for you is right now. Because that's why God called you to be a participant, to listen this evening to what thus saith the Lord. Love, that's a word that's bandied around and thrown around so much. And the concept of marriage itself is driven by love, but it's also fueled, we know, by a complex array of many factors. And in essence, the ideal of oneness in marriage refers to the unification of two individuals into a single entity, emotionally, mentally, and physically. This doesn't mean they lose or we lose our individuality, but rather we come to share a common goal in life. We learn how to support each other and our individual aspirations to establish a mutual understanding and respect. As a matter of fact, the word tells us that God himself is love. Now think about that for a moment. If God is love, why would we ever want to be anything other than what God is. And the word tells us that we are created in the image of God. So surely, since we are created in the image of God, we have every capacity then to love like God has loved. Love is indeed a powerful emotion and often serves as the initial catalyst for oneness. It's a deep affection and attachment and intimacy that attracts two individuals to each other. Think about when you first got together, when you first consummated that act of love in the mental and spiritual reality. Not in the flesh, but when you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally thought, felt, and believed this person completed you. And this deep affection caused you to want to focus your attention on this particular individual that now is your spouse or perhaps your spouse-to-be. Your intense emotional connection that you felt when you fall in love, and when you fell in love, it makes you deeper united and part of something very, very special. It's important to recognize that love alone, however, isn't always sufficient to maintain the sense of oneness over the long term. But it is the initiator. It is that which will allow you to be forgiving. Now, there are other factors that come into play over the process of time. Shared values, mutual respect, open communication, trust, empathy, all of that is crucial in sustaining this sense of unity and oneness. These elements nurture the bond between you and your spouse, and they will foster growth for your oneness. See, think about it. It's worth noting that the concept of oneness in marriage can mean different things to different people, but the bottom line is it means love. That you had love at some point. And so the whole deal is to see how do we capture, how do we maintain, how do we keep this undeniable feeling that we have for each other. Some people may stay together when for some reason it appears like love is dwindling or love is no longer as strong as it was. And that's where maturation comes into play. When we must mature and grow to the point to know and to understand that there are some things that take place in our lives as we age and as we mature that cause us to look deeper into why we fell in love with our spouse. See, while love is undeniably the key component and be considered the strongest emotion to initiate this bond, but it's a combination of other elements that will help us nurture and maintain the sense of oneness in our marriages. We've got to remember that the greatest of all, when we look at that 1 Corinthians in that 13th chapter, it talks about love and it talks about how the greatest gift of all, we think about Galatians in that 5th chapter, that 22nd verse, it talks about walking in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that first dimension is about love. See, something about it. Love is undeniable. Both parties must speak their love, must show their love, and be loving to achieve success in marriage and in the concept of marriage. It's just a reality. See, the expression of love through words, through actions, and through attitudes, it really is the building, the building blocks, the fundamentals necessary to maintain oneness in marriage. Otherwise, unfortunately, it's not possible. This expression of love isn't simply about romantic gestures. It's not simply about respect. It's deeper even than respect, but about understanding, empathy, and a kindness. There's that word again in the fruit of the Spirit that is consistent. Now, let's look at some of these components and see how they contribute to a successful oneness. And it's all about love. Number one, how about speaking love? You know, being open, honest, and respectful in your communication. It is the cornerstone of a successful marriage. When all of us can articulate our feelings, our needs, and our desires, and we demonstrate a love and respect for each other. It doesn't mean simply saying I love you. It also means expressing this appreciation, apologizing sincerely when wrong, and discussing issues candidly and constructively. See, sometimes when we think about the concept of love, we fail to understand that it's a bilateral, it's a mutual situation. When you hear people say something, oh, he loved, oh, she loved me. But sometimes when you hear them saying that, you don't hear them say, but I love him because, I love her because. And then you wonder, you ask, well, are you thinking on the good things? You know, Philippians 4:8, are you thinking on the good things? Now, also, how about not only speaking love, but showing love? See, love, it needs to be expressed through actions as well. This includes both small and everyday acts of kindness. And the word again, fruit of the Spirit. You know, it could be something like making coffee in the morning. Every morning, I won't say every morning, but the majority of mornings, I know I get up because I love a cup of coffee in the morning, and I make sure that I ask my wife, McQueen, would she like a cup? And you know what? It's not so much that she even enjoys drinking the coffee, but she'll have a cup just to have a cup with me. I mean, that's the bilateral thing where I love the coffee, but I'm going to serve her a cup, and she really is not a big coffee drinker, but she'll take a cup just to be social with me. Now, how we drink it is different. I drink it black. She drink it with cream. But the fact of the matter is that we're doing something together, showing love. See, actions often speak louder than words, and consistent acts of love will reinforce the bond of oneness in marriage. Then what about being loving? We ourselves, we sometimes have to do a better job of just being loving, because more than a feeling or a set of actions, love is also a way of being. This involves our attitudes regarding patience, our attitudes regarding understanding and empathy. And how about always forgiveness towards your spouse? It means actively choosing to love even when times are tough or when your spouse is not at their best and when you are not at your best. This attitude of love can strengthen oneness in a marriage because it fosters a deep and abiding connection between marital partners. See, we sometimes fail to realize that to be loved, we have to be loving. To be loving, we have to be loved. It's just funny how it reinforces itself. You don't have a situation where you can say, I love them, but. I mean, it's not but. You know, I love them, or I love her, I love him. It's not but. Leave out the but. Because, see, when you put that but in there, it gives you an out. And see, once we have made a commitment to marriage, we don't suppose to have an out. There is no out. And so in addition to love, a marriage, to be successful, you got to have trust. You got to know about commitment, the shared values we mentioned before. It's essential for spouses to support each other and the individual growth and the work that's required to experience oneness together as a team. And the concept of oneness in marriage isn't about losing one's individuality. It's about merging two lives in a way that enhances the individuality and happiness of both parties. I want you to think about that for a moment. So now you come together. You have things you love to do. Think about it. If you got to a point to where now you are able to share with your spouse, this person you love, those things that you enjoy doing, mundane things that perhaps they have never themselves been involved in. But now when you come together as one, you are able to show them and you are able to experience with them what it means to share something that you've enjoyed doing that they were not exposed to perhaps in their life, and vice versa. They can expose you to something that you were not doing. I'll give you, again, a mundane example. I know when Tam and I got together, she didn't have a clue about anything called golf. She'd been to some scramblers at work, professionally and all of that, but she really didn't have a clue about what golf was. But being an athlete that she is, she was able, when we went out to the course and I showed a few things and shared a few things, my goodness, I must say in all sincerity, I was truly, truly impressed. I was impressed that she could hit the ball. I was impressed that she could keep it in play. I truly was, because I had an opportunity to play, and this is not a sexist comment, to play with other women in corporate America. And I've never seen one that was able to really just almost naturally be able to hit that little ball, because it's not that easy to hit. And I know she passed on some of those genes to our children, but they too were able. The other day, Jaleel and I, we went out, and Jaleel, I hadn't had a chance really to invest the same kind of time with her in playing some golf. When we first got out there, of course, she had to go through a learning curve. And as we went through that learning curve, we was out there for probably 2.5 hours. And as we went through that learning curve, a gentleman saw us out earlier, just hitting balls, and we came back. And by the end, she had kind of got her groove together. And Jaleel was hitting the ball on the driving range. And I started talking to the gentleman, and he said, "Wow, you all still out here?" And I said, "Yeah, we going up and down the bag." And I said, "Yeah, she's getting a groove on now." And he said, "Yeah, I see she's improved quite a bit, my goodness, from just this morning." And then, of course, in all humility, Jaleel said, "Oh, Daddy, you know, you're blessed because you have athletic children." And I just laughed. But she was right. She was right. Because, again, from the moment her mother could have told me when we first started talking about golf, "I'm not playing no golf. I'm not going to do nothing like that." But instead, she knew it was something I liked, and she was willing to get involved. Same way when it went to tennis. I was willing to go and learn something about tennis. So now I know the game of tennis. I understand how to score in tennis. I understand everything about it. I know who the tennis players are, know who, so on and so forth. My point simply is, when you come together in marriage, when you come together in oneness, there may be things that you know that your spouse does not know and vice versa. But the key thing is you are willing to go through and experience that sense of oneness. There's nothing like it. It's a very, very powerful reality. And when you can experience that reality by being willing to give of yourself, there is no greater satisfaction than knowing unequivocally that you and your spouse have been able to grow together. You've been able to come together. And see, this actualization of oneness is achieved by the examples of the love that we display and the love that we implement. See, the actualization of oneness in a relationship, and especially in marriage, is significantly influenced by the ways in which love is displayed and implemented. Now, this process is not passive. It's active and ongoing. You got to do some work. You got to do some actions. It can't be where one person in that relationship, in that dual relationship, is always the one that's giving, always the one that's initiating. Can't work that way. It won't work. You got to be bilateral. You got to be mutual. And so it's not passive. It's active and ongoing. A continuous journey where you choose love, demonstrating the love, nurturing the love every day. Just today, I don't know, mid-afternoon, my wife came across my mind, and I was inspired to just send her a little text, tell her I love you. I don't even remember what was on the text, to be quite honest. Ask God to protect her, to grant her favor, and let her be a blessing to someone during the course of the day. But her day was so busy that I knew, and I could be tell by the way she responds, that she was having a busy day. But by the chance she had a chance to read that text, I could tell by her response that it was something that brightened her up. It was something that gave her more energy. And the reason I know that is because when she came home, she wanted to go work out at the gym. And even before we came on tonight, we were able to go and get a workout in at the gym. So see, don't tell me you can't do something. Don't tell me you can't make things happen. Don't tell me you can't find ways to be beneficial with your spouse. I just don't want to hear. See, it's so many things that we can do. It's such a beautiful journey. But it's a journey that you must nurture each and every day. Now, there are two particular factors that I believe and we believe will drive this actuality of oneness. Demonstration and implementation. See, love is not just a feeling. And it's, oh, I feel like, no, it ain't about a feeling. It's also about behavior. See, the ways in which partners and spouses demonstrate love can be as varied as the individuals themselves. See, you can't make a determination based on how I demonstrated, you demonstrated, she demonstrated, or he demonstrates and say, that's the way it should be. No, we all are different. So the demonstration of love for one could be verbal affirmations. Matter of fact, there was a book written one time about your love language. Well, not one time. There is a book written about your love languages, about how you yourself experience and how you express your love. And so all of us are different. We don't have the same love language. We don't have the same way of expressing the love about us. You know, some could be through affirmations. Some could be physical attractions. Others may display their love through acts of service. You know, thoughtful gifts, spending quality time together. Could be a whole list of ways that one may, in their own way, are trying to show you, their spouse, that they love you. And we have to be mature enough and broad enough to understand, if they don't love you the way you love them and expressing the same way that you are expressing, then that's a blessing. Because now both of you are bringing something unique and different to the table. And when you bring something unique and different to the table, that means both of you will grow in the process. That's the way it works. See, it will strengthen and reinforce your bond and assist a oneness in your marriage. Now, when you talk about implementation, implementation love, it's about the ways in which love informs and guides the actions we take, the decisions we make, the interactions within a relationship. See, we, and I've said this before, if you have been on here And I know some of you that know us know this is true. You know, my wife is someone that can go in a place and she meets no stranger. She could go in a place and just meets no stranger, just friendly, smiling, personable, how you doing? I mean, just the whole nine. Whereas I'm more reserved, more laid back. I want to check everybody out. I want to see what's going on, what's happening, you know, who's saying this and who's saying that, so I can kind of get a sense of where everybody may be. And so we just approach the same situation totally different. Does not mean that in my implementation approach is right or wrong, or hers is right or wrong. They're just diverse. They're different. And as a matter of fact, sometimes it comes into great benefit, because you could have the husband or the wife. One may go and be that bright light. They're just that way. And then you are able to then respond in a manner that you just, it's just hard to explain. It's very difficult. If you experience it, then you'll know exactly what I'm speaking of. But I'm going to now, right now, get some input from a queen. I get going in the flow sometimes and I just get going. So I'm going to bag it off for a minute because I like to hear what she has to say. She's coming to the studio tonight. So my queen, your mic is open. What has God placed on your spirit to share?
Well, Jesse, I'm just so grateful and thankful for all that you have shared thus far. I mean, a lot of information, a lot of data, and I just hope and I pray that our listening audience take heed, because everyone can accomplish this thing called oneness and enjoy love along the way, because love is the strongest emotion, and sometimes we just need to show those emotions. And when I really think about how we really show the emotions and the things that we go through, in my opinion, I just think it's one of the most important things, because oneness can be achieved when we implement. See, we can't just happenstance and think it's just going to fall in place on its own, but when one implements strategies, I mean, we go out every day, and most of us that are in sales, we got to have a strategy to go into whatever account that we're going into to gain their business. Well, married, you might have gained and won that particular spouse in holy matrimony, but then how many of us know we can lose business along the way if we're not taking care of those accounts? There's no difference in marriage. If we're not taking care of one another, we can lose our spouse. So we got to understand, we got to implement strategies that confirm partners' love for each other. I don't just assume that Jesse understands that I said I do, that I love him forever until death do us part. I have to show him through some of my emotions. I have to show him through some of the words of edification. I have to show him by telling him through my vocal cords how much I love and appreciate him. I have to be the one to understand and know that absolutely I have to implement the strategies that I want my partner to know so that I'm reaffirming my love for him. Just like you will have to do for your spouse or your spouse-to-be. You got to understand that a faith without works is dead. If you got enough faith to know and understand, no matter what you're going through now until the end of the world, to the time God says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, in our minds, we got to be able to feel like I can be with this person the rest of my life. And one of the things that we got to do is we got to understand, in order to implement, to allow ourselves to understand exactly how we can create the oneness that God talks about in Genesis 2:24. And there are a few things that we must do. So some of the strategies may vary from one relationship, one couple to the other. You know, I might not need someone to come in and just hug me constantly. Jesse spoke about the love languages. All of us know about the five love languages. And I tell you what, if you get to know your spouse and you read through those love languages, you're going to find out which ones belong to him or her. I only hope that you take time to kind of see and listen and understand what you need to do. And so when we think about strategies and when we think about how we can really, truly depend on each other and individuals involved so that we can do a few things. There are a few that I want to talk about. We'll go into it in a little bit more detail. Communication, quality time, understanding, empathy, mutual respect is so key. And if we can just allow ourselves an opportunity to be able to understand
and know that these are the things that we must do to have a successful relationship, that we understand and know that it's built on love, which is the strongest, once again, emotion that we can have in our oneness. So when I think about open communication, so many that know me know that this word doesn't fly lightly, but I speak about it on a regular basis. The reason why it's so important is because open communication, it is effective communication, and it is a pillar of a relationship. When you think about partners and when you think about two people, because when you're a partner, somebody else to join you. So when you think about that, partners should openly express their thoughts, their emotions, their needs, and hopefully their expectations. Because guess what? If we never talk about it, guess what? We're never going to know that about that person that we call ourselves so deeply in love with, that we call our king or we call our queen or we call the person that we will be with forever. But how are you going to be with someone forever and you don't even want to communicate with them? Do your part with open communication, because this includes expressing love and appreciation. But don't get it twisted. It also extends to discussing things that need to be discussed. And oh yeah, there might be some things that need to be discussed that you might have some disagreements with. But it's okay to even be angry, because the word says you can be angry, but the word says sin not. Because so many disagreements are just misunderstandings, if we really want to be honest with ourselves. And there are misunderstandings in a respectful and constructive manner. And so if we really look at the true meaning of the words that our spouse is saying, so many times we're so angry about certain subjects that we're talking about in the communication, we can't finish the subject. Because two things is happening. Either we shut down and we don't want to say anything because we call ourselves being mad, or we don't give the other person an opportunity to really, truly share. And so guess what? You can't communicate with just yourself. You got to have someone to communicate with. And so when I think about that, it to me is so key, because communication is going to be the key in everything that we do in life. But then there's other things that come along with these strategies. Think about quality time. Jesse and I, as he already said, there's nothing that I do that he doesn't try or don't want to do with me. Vice versa. There's nothing that he does that I don't want to go out and do. Sometimes I just go out with him and I don't feel like golfing. That's not my favorite thing, but I do it because he loves it. But I sometimes just go and ride in the cart and just cheer him on and just relax and enjoy God's beautiful nature. But then there are other times when he says, come on, Tammy, hit with me. And I'll understand that he wants me to get out the cart, move around a little bit, hit that little white ball, and I do it. But it goes both ways. Jesse really wasn't ever a tennis player, and I picked up the game tennis mainly because of our kids and started enjoying it. And then he would go out and hit with me, not something that is his favorite pastime, but he did it because of me. And so when you really think about the quality of time, it is spending quality time together no matter what you're doing, whether it's through shared activities, date nights, or simple moments of togetherness. Sometimes Saturday, as a matter of fact, I said, you know, Jesse, this is a long week, and I really want to go to the pool, but I'm really tired, and I really don't want to be in the sun. I really don't know what I want to do. He said, baby, let's just watch a movie. We watched a movie. He said, okay, baby, let's watch another movie. And that second movie put me to sleep. So I slept for about an hour, woke back up. He said, okay, I'm going to put another movie on. And then we put another movie on. And we sat there and we had pretty much a date night all day Saturday watching movies. I don't even think we really got out of the bed much other than just to do our hygiene. But other than that, we went back in the bed. The kids were out doing their own thing, and we enjoyed ourselves in the comforts of our home. So it doesn't matter where you are. The only thing we want is we want you to strengthen the bond of love and reinforce your oneness through that time, that quality time you spend together. And then one of the other areas that I think is equally important, and so many times we don't have an understanding of this, and that is understanding and empathy. Because, see, you can understand but have no empathy. And so what we want you to do is do both. Have an understanding and empathy. Because when you're trying to understand, really, it takes a special person to understand somebody else. Because when it takes that special person, it means that you're actually taking an opportunity to get to know this individual that you call yourself loving, that God allowed you to be in holy matrimony. And there's nothing greater than learning a little bit more about your spouse. Every day that there's something else that I learn about Jesse, it just blows my mind. It just makes me feel so good. I always took an opportunity to be able to speak to his mother about his childhood and about different things. And I would just ask her questions because I was interested. I wanted to know. I wanted to get a better understanding so that I could have the empathy that I needed on certain situations that was necessary for me to have. Because I don't mind having empathy for someone that I love. I don't know about you, but I know that all of us go through different challenges in life, and we need everybody to have a little empathy for somebody to help make this world a better place. And so when I think about understanding, when I think about empathy, it allows me to understand that this reinforces a sense of oneness as each of us, as we are seen one to another, as we are heard one to another, and as we are valued one to another, which to me is key. It's really important because acts of service is not something that, you know, we should take lightly, because acts of service is something that you're doing to your spouse and for your spouse that should bring a smile on their face. How many times have you said to your spouse, let me give you a head massage? How many times have you said to your spouse, let me give you a back massage? You may not be skilled enough to do a whole full body massage like my husband has a massage table set up downstairs that are days when he says, go get prepared. You got a date tonight. You got a massage. And he gives me a time and we take it very serious. These are things that I consider acts of kindness. You're doing something and you're helping in any area of within your household. Maybe it's saying, baby, I don't want you to rush this morning. Let me drop the kids off at school. Okay, baby, I know you've been cooking all week. I want to cook this weekend. Okay, baby, don't worry about doing anything with the kids. This is your weekend. Go do what you need to do. I got them. I'll take care of them this weekend. Then it could be, on the other hand, the wife could be like, baby, you know, don't worry about nothing. Go lay down, take a shower. I'll bring you food in the bed. Baby, don't worry about it. Sit down. I'll give you a nice foot massage. It goes back and forth to what we can really, truly do with acts of service. And it's whatever we're doing that can reaffirm our love one to another. And then when I think about Jesse, physical affection. And for all of you that know me, this is probably key before I turn it back over to Jesse for a few remaining comments. But physical affection. This is something that God made good. It's not always about just being in the bed and lovemaking. It's not about that, just that. Physical affection could be even the first time you've seen someone and you were physically attracted to them. It could be a time when you desire and know that the minute your spouse walks in, you have been thinking about her all day. So what do you want to do? Jump up, go give her a hug, give her a kiss, and welcome her home. Vice versa, wife. Might be that your husband's been gone all day. Don't let him walk in that house without acknowledging him without going and giving him a hug and giving him a kiss and letting him know that you missed him? How about doing like Jessica or Daddy even did earlier when he sends them all the time, almost every day. And every now and then I might be with someone and I'm like, look what my husband just sent me. And I let him read it because it's words of edification. It's words of encouragement. It's a prayer normally that he sends to me. It's something that he does out of the kindness of his heart while I'm away. And you know what that does? It makes me feel, think, and believe that physically he's thinking about me. He is physically thinking about when I get home and when we can get together at that appropriate time, what it's going to be like. And so those are areas that we have to understand and know that it's important to cuddle with your spouse like we did all weekend on, or not all weekend, but all day Saturday. It's important to be able to let your loved ones see the physical affection that you have one to another so that when they get married or when they decide to be in a relationship, they know it's okay to show that physical expression outward to others, for others to see. And so I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that on this evening, this was a topic that I don't care who it is, everybody can learn something from it. I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that we understand the importance of oneness. And we understand what it means when you talk about love and when you talk about emotion and when you talk about oneness, they all go together. And if it's not going together right now, as smooth as I just said it, my only challenge to you would be make a change. Do whatever you need to do to understand and know what you must do, not your spouse, but you must do when you look in that mirror to make a change, to make a better a relationship within your marriage as it relates to oneness. Allow it to be love because we already know, you've been told over and over again, that love is the strongest emotion in oneness. God bless you all. Continue to show love one to another.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Praise God for the prophetic utterance of my queen, my wife, my best friend, my workout partner. And seriously, brothers and sisters, you are able to do far more than you may ever think, feel, or believe. God has given us that capability. We just must learn, all of us, to walk in it. Tammy made a mention of a favorite scripture, faith without works is dead. You don't get there by works, but you got to have works if you have the faith. And if you have faith in the person that God allowed to cross your path, then you should be willing, both of you, to do the work necessary to perfect each other. Where you then become the good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. We want to take a moment to remind you that at 9 o'clock tonight, before I give you the final comments, that at 9 o'clock, Minister Leah Killens will be on Empowerment Ministries. She's right here on the same number. You just dial back in at 9 o'clock or so, and she'll be hosting Empowerment Ministries, a beautiful ministry she has as well. On Thursday nights, you have Minister George Flint, his wife Maria. Oftentimes, we're teaching on that particular evening. And we just praise God for their ministry gift as well. I say this again, if you want that you feel you have a desire to teach, call me or send me an email or text message or whatever and let me know and we can have a conversation and see how we might be able to support you in that endeavor. Love is the strongest emotion driving the concept of oneness in marriage. And we hope and pray that tonight you may have gotten a word or two that will give you an understanding of how vitally important it is. But love is not only a noun, it's also a verb. And it's an action. So you got to take some action to do some things. So just remember, as Tammy said, achieving oneness is a continuous journey that involves more than implementing the strategies even we have mentioned. It requires an ongoing commitment to the growth and development of the relationship. And each one of us, we got to understand, we all are unique, and we should explore and find those strategies that works best for each and every one of us. And by that, we'll be able to confirm the love we have for each other, and that will allow us to foster a greater sense of oneness now and in the future. We pray that God will bless you, that God will keep you, and may God deliver unto you perfect oneness that he has made available to you for such a time as this. Pray for us as we pray for you. And as we come into our 14th season of Monday Night Blog Talk Radio, and to be honest, we're giving some thoughts about doing something different on Monday night. We haven't made a decision yet, but we're thinking about doing something different, perhaps doing a show that's shorter, and then have a show that's doing something that's dealing with different elements that impact marriage and oneness, but we'll give you more detail on that in the future. May God bless you. May God keep you. And remember, dial back in at 9 o'clock. Listen to our beloved sister, Minister Leo Killings. Till next week, peace and love.
Agape love.